It's Marketplace Tech for November 20th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. While authorities have been pursuing the Paris attackers and their networks this week, a debate has been brewing about the technology attackers have used and how to stop it. A lot of the reporting has been speculative and unconfirmed. At the same time, unnamed sources in law enforcement have argued that encryption hampers their work. Tech companies and cybersecurity experts say that's bunk. Here's Benjamin Wittes at the Brookings Institution.
You know, the intelligence looks at people overseas using mobile devices and computers and sees targets. And the tech industry looks at people overseas using those same devices and computers and sees customers. And that's a real conflict of their two interests.
Is it also possible that encryption protects a lot of people around the world who are trying to do the work of increasing democracy, and we might see some problems there, or those people might run into serious problems or run afoul of regimes that would abuse backdoors in order to stifle the work that they're doing?
It's not just people working against bad regimes. Look, encryption is essential to the safety of digital commerce. It's essential to basic cybersecurity in a lot of different areas. And so, you know, I don't think anybody responsible is making an argument against encryption. And there's no question that if you weaken encryption in order to give U.S. or good guy law enforcement, you know, access under the right circumstances, you weaken the security of systems that also has to protect people against, you know, bad guys. And so there's, you know, real costs no matter which direction you go here.
What should we be thinking about as regular end users when it comes to this debate? And what should we watch out for as we hear the debate sort of rise in volume around this issue going forward?
So for one thing, you should always ask yourself who is speaking and what security are they trying to protect? And, you know, just as, you know, we often frame these issues as clashes between liberty and security. But in many ways, these are really clashes between security and security. Are we more worried about average cybersecurity standards, or are we more worried about ISIS, right? And, you know, one vision of security argues for greater use of encryption with fewer vulnerabilities. Another argues for building some degree of ability to access material into the nature of the systems themselves.
Benjamin Wittes is a senior fellow in governance studies at the Brookings Institution. Benjamin, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Turns out it might be slightly hip to be square after all. Earlier this week, the Jack Dorsey-led point-of-sale payment company's prospects on Wall Street looked iffy. Its valuation was downgraded, but on its first day of trading, SQ stock jumped 50% and landed higher than expected yesterday. A bunch of other tech stocks did well, too. Match Group, the company that owns Tinder and other dating apps, rose 22%. If there's a bubble, it hasn't popped yet. You know what day it is, Friday, and that means Silicon Tally time. My guest this week, New York Times tech reporter Mike Isaac. Mike, are you ready to play the game where we try to stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news?
I am as ready as I'll ever be.
Okay, 59 million monthly active users.
59 million. Oh my gosh. I have no idea what that is from.
I'll give you a hint. Swipe right.
Oh, it's Tinder, the Match IPO.
Yeah, so this is the number of monthly active users that collectively use Match Group entities, which of course include Tinder, OkCupid, and Match.com. The company has about 4.7 million paid members as of third quarter of this year, and of course IPO'd this week. What do you think? Match Group, does it have a future in the public markets?
So apparently investors are pretty bullish or swiping, I guess, right, you know, which is good. I haven't used I'm not a Tinder guy, but
me neither. Me neither.
Yeah. So FYI, honey. But it's good, and I think investors are pretty good on that. Like they think there's a lot of upside to how many people are willing to actually pay for it. Tinder seems to be the sort of crown jewel there.
All right, what do you got for me?
$4 billion.
$4 billion, the current market cap of Square?
No. It's not Uber.
Lyft, baby. It's got to be,
yes,
Lyft,
sir.
Right?
Lyft, the ride-hailing app, is in talks to raise another $500 million at a $4 billion valuation, which is large, but it's definitely no Uber, which is also in negotiation talks right now to raise at a $60 to $70 billion valuation, which is just insane.
Totally, totally insane. Mike Isaac at the New York Times. Mike, thank you for playing along.
Thank you so much for having me.
And earlier this week, we brought you exclusive content from our new Codebreaker podcast. We hope you enjoyed it, and there's more to come. As you head into the weekend and you need something to listen to, feel free to head to codebreaker.codes. You can get it on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts. And hey, give us a rating. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.